So today we're going to continue with our series. You know that we've declared for 2018 our theme for the whole year is divine peace with God, and our divine peace. And this month we're going with a title called "It's an Inside Job," because I feel like the Lord wanted us to understand that if you're going to have divine peace, it has to come from the inside out. It can't come from the outside in. It doesn't work that way. And so today I'm going to talk about heart and mind, how to find peace in your heart and how to find peace in your mind. Okay, and I plan to do these words before I recognize that this coming Wednesday is Valentine's Day. So I don't know. I think that's kind of cool. So I wore red in honor of Valentine's Day coming. Here too on my lips, girls. Yeah. So might as well have fun with it, right? So I want to talk about how to get peace in your heart, because it is an inside job. And I want to talk about how to get peace in your mind. It is an inside job, okay? First of all, the word heart is mentioned 573 times in the Bible. In the New Living Translation. It might be a little different in other translations, but not. It's pretty close to that. So it must be a big deal. The heart must be a pretty big deal for it to be talked about that much. And the first thing, if we're going to have peace in our mind, we have to get a new vision of our heart. We have to get a new vision of our heart. This is a big deal because most of us see our hearts this way. And I don't know about you, but I had this evangelist that would come around to my church once a year, Brother Haynes. Love him, thankful for him. I'm sure he's in heaven now. But now that I'm an adult, I actually feel sorry for some of the experience he had on earth, because he was an angry, spitting preacher. He was angry and he was spitting all the time, right? And his favorite verse, I'm not exaggerating, his favorite verse was Jeremiah 17:9. I can still see him saying this verse in all of his anger and spitting. Not a picture you really want to keep in your heart, but anyway. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Right? Now you have the picture. Thank you, Sandy. And even if you've been in church your whole life, and even if you've given your heart to Jesus, there's this little part that still sees your heart that way. Or maybe it sees it more like this. There's some good stuff. No, back to the black one. Part black, yeah, that one. There's some good stuff and there's some bad stuff. Or maybe it's the next one where you have some good stuff, but then you have some gaps in your heart. Because you keep remembering the verse that says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know how bad it is, right? The problem is that's not a complete. That verse has been taken out of context. It was directed to a group of people in the country of Judah, in the nation of Judah, who had practiced wickedness and turning their heart away from the Father over and over and over again. So yes, it's in the Bible. No, I don't think it applies to me today. It was pre-cross. But that's not all, because David, in the book of Psalm 84:5, David, pre-cross, said, "How enriched are they who find their strength in the Lord. Within their hearts are the highways of holiness." So how does that verse jive with the other verse? It doesn't. It doesn't. David had a grasp because he had a relationship with his father that helped him to see hearts differently than Jeremiah. But here's the thing that really caps it off. In Ezekiel 11, 19, and 20, it says this. This is God talking about what happens after his sacrifice is given. And I will give them singleness of heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take away their stony, stubborn heart and give them a tender, responsive heart. So they will obey my decrees and regulations. Then they will truly be my people and I will be their God. This is what God wants our heart to look like. This is what our heart looks like. This is what God wants us to see that our heart looks like. He wants us to know this is how he sees our heart. Not with gaps, not with some good and some bad, and not certainly all bad. Because once you give your stony, stubborn heart to Jesus, he gives you a new one. And it's tender and responsive, and it's a heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. Happy Valentine's Day. God's going, be mine. Be mine. Now in Hebrews, which is post-cross, the writer does talk about hardening of the heart. He talks about that. But if you read it in Hebrews chapter 3, he talks about it and he says, this is what can harden your heart, unbelief. Unbelief, not actions, not sins, not behaviors, unbelief. If I don't believe that God has given me a heart of flesh, that can actually cause my heart to get harder. If I don't believe that the sacrifice made on the cross is enough to cover everything I've ever done or everything I ever will do, that creates hardening of the heart. It's not like it's hardened forever, though. Jesus says, give it back to me. I love turning it into flesh again. I love making it tender and responsive again. In Colossians 3:15 in the Passion Translation, it says this, let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One. The word picture there is let peace be the umpire in your minds. Out! Strike! Fair ball. The heart and the mind are very connected. Very connected. So let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One who called you to peace as part of his one body, and always be thankful. You see, if I view my heart as all dark and sinister and desperately wicked, I cannot have peace. Because God has put it inside of me to want to be in relationship with him. And somewhere in the deep recesses of my spirit, I know that I can't be in relationship with a desperately wicked heart. And so I cannot have peace. I'm always at war within myself. If we can see our heart the way God sees our heart, we can have peace. So how can you keep peace in your mind? How can you keep peace in your mind? I know that God is wanting to pour out a spirit of a sound mind in our place today. I know that he is. He woke me up this morning. I woke up singing a song I've heard a few times, but it's one of those songs that I don't know very well. I'd never looked at the lyrics, and I'm a visual learner, and so I hadn't looked at the lyrics, so I couldn't remember, but I was singing the chorus, which is, "Then sings my soul, then sings my soul, how great your love is." So I felt prompted, because whenever I wake up singing a song that I haven't heard in a while, I usually assume that it's God's Spirit's communicating with me. And so I looked it up on my phone first thing, pulled out my phone, I hit YouTube, I searched this song. I knew the name of it was Behold. I actually thought it was called Then Sings My Soul, but it's called Behold. And I looked up the words. Does this not go perfectly with what I just said? Behold, I have a friend, the Spirit breathing holy fire within, my ever-present help speaking truth when I can't find it. Light up this broken heart and light my way till my time on earth is done. O Holy Spirit, breathe in me, thy kingdom come. O Holy Spirit, let your work in me be done. My God, you are just so smart. I choose to believe what God says when he promised he will give us a new, tender, responsive heart that loves to be in relationship with him. That's clean and beautiful, without shame, without guilt. I choose to believe it. But I want to take it one step further and sort our thoughts. If we want peace in our mind, we need to figure out how to sort our thoughts. Romans 12:3 says, "Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes." You got to figure out where thoughts come from, first of all, before you can sort them. There are three things that came to mind right away. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because I want to spend more time on the next thing. They come from past experiences. Thoughts come from past experiences. There's one thought that's a very good thought that comes from past experiences that, well, I haven't really done it, but if you put your finger in a socket, you're going to get zapped. That's a good past experience to have in that you know not to put your finger in a socket. I learned that about cigarette lighters in a car through a real experience. Not very smart, right? Now I know. Put your finger on that, you're going to get burned. It's going to hurt. But there are also past experiences that breed lies in our lives. Okay? If someone does something to you that hurts you, then it becomes a past experience. And then you take that past experience template and you put it on a relationship in your life, even though it's not true anymore of that person. And so it has the potential to harm you. So you have to sort it out and figure out where it's coming from. Because some of us exalt our past experiences over the truth of God's word. And we don't even realize it. Okay, number two, they come from internal influences. Now, if you've given your heart to Jesus, who lives inside of you? Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Both. If you've given your heart to Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So this morning, when I woke up singing that song, that was an internal influence. That wasn't an external influence. I wasn't playing it to myself when I went to sleep, although I do play music to myself when I go to sleep. I have playlists that I listen every night, listen to as I'm going to sleep. Don't remember most of them, but they're going in, you know. But this one wasn't a case of that. It was an internal influence. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through me to my thoughts. So I listened. I think this happens far more than we realize, that we just don't listen all the time, but that's okay. I'm guilty. I've done that too. Internal influence. I would question it. I would question your internal influence if it's something that doesn't lead to hope or peace. I would go, wait, that's probably not an internal influence. That's probably an external influence. Because when you have the Holy Spirit inside, he filters out all the things that don't lead to hope and peace. He brings forth hope, peace, goodness. What are the fruit of the Spirit? You know what they are. Love, joy, peace, all those, right? But there's also external influences that bring thoughts. Most of us have heard this our whole lives. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Those are external influences. We have to be aware of what affects us from the outside in. There are certain things I can't watch on TV or in movies. I'm not going to draw the line for you. I have figured out for me, there are certain things that when I watch those, they bring external influence into my brain that I don't want there. And so it creates a bigger battle for me. So I'm like, nope, we're going to nip it in the bud. As Barney Five used to say, generational joke, sorry. Nip it in the bud, nip it in the bud, right? Not going to allow that. Now, that can be anything. There was a season in my life I couldn't watch Hallmark movies. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. Because when I would watch those, they would make me incredibly sad. Painfully, like paralyzingly sad. So I had to figure out, oh, can't watch those for a while. This week, I will not be watching any Valentine's movies. I'm happy for those of you who are in a relationship. I'm seriously happy for some of you are in a relationship and you still shouldn't watch them because you compare your relationship to theirs. That's in the movies written by professional writers, not real. But if you can get past that, I encourage you to watch it if it leads to hope and joy and love. Me, not so much. Not that great for me. I will not be watching it. Nothing against it. I'm not going to wake up in a bad mood on Wednesday. Arr, Valentine's Day, holiday made up for by Hallmark. Nope. I growled too strong. We don't have to be like that. We don't have to be all negative, Nancy. Not necessary. I celebrate those who are in love. I seriously do. Not going to be a grump, but I'm not going to be all... I'm not going to do that either. Okay. Putting thoughts in their place. Many years ago, I watched a show on HGTV, and I can't think of the name of it. I wish I could, but I didn't have time to search. You'll probably remember. Maybe you will if you're an HGTV fan. I think it was on TLC then at the time. I don't know. One of those. Where this family would have this room that was a disaster. Instead of a junk drawer, it was like a junk room. Uh-oh. No, I didn't know that some of you have that. This is not guilt. But the show would come in, and they would decide to clean out everything in that room and transform it into a usable space, whether it was an office or a spare bedroom or a nursery, something usable, a den. So they would always create three piles. Do you guys remember this show? Yeah. Right? They would have three piles they had to create, but they would do it outside and it wouldn't be this small. They would be like this whole sign in an area of their yard. Okay? Keep, toss, and give. Right? And so the people who own the house, they would always start out with a giant keep pile. Always. I would laugh. I'm like, really? Do you need crepe paper from 17 years ago because you might use it for a birthday party again? Really? You know, the streamers? No, I don't think. But they were convinced we might need this someday. I don't want to go to the Dollar Tree and buy more. Forget it. What? Okay. But after the show would work with them, they would go through that pile about 12 times. And this pile would get large. Toss. That would get very large. And then this pile would also get large. But this pile was always the biggest to begin with. They had to figure out what to give, what to toss, and what to keep. And then, once they did the hard work of getting rid of that, then the show would come in with these beautiful pieces. Oh, beautiful furniture, artwork, like nice, nice, nice stuff. So none of this was ever mourned. This wasn't mourned. No way. They had totally forgotten. Totally forgotten, because the room then became usable and not only functional, but beautiful. This is what God wants to do with our minds today. He wants us, wow, that was, I thought, was that a burp? That was impressive if that was a burp. I am saying, my boys could match that a while ago. Yeah, they still could, but they've learned not to, thankfully. We have to figure out how to put thoughts in their place. The keep pile, the toss pile, or the give pile. Now, what is the keep pile? The keep pile is any promise or truth that you know has brought hope and strength and love and peace to you. That goes in the keep pile. What is the toss pile? Well, anything you need to toss. Lies that you believe that lead to paralyzation. Lies that bring lack of peace. Lies that have been spoken over you that you need to get rid of. No one needs those. You need to torch those babies in the blood of Jesus. Right? But then there's a gift pile. What's in the give pile? Someone who's hurt you, or something you've done that you regret, that you need to give grace and forgiveness to. And the thought keeps coming up over and over and over again, and Jesus says, no, give it grace and forgiveness and leave it. And if it's someone who's hurt you, you need to give grace and forgiveness to them and not hold that sin against them any longer. And if it's something you've done, you need to give grace and forgiveness to yourself and give yourself permission to have a heart of flesh. Ephesians 4:21 through 20. 4 says, since you have learned about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Your former, your old way of life. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I ask myself, when I get a thought that doesn't lead to peace, I ask myself, does this pass the Philippians 4:8 test? Here's Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. That would be the keep pile. Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Those are the thoughts you keep. Anything else goes in one of the other piles. I've asked Ken and Alex to help me by passing out some papers. Every person gets two blue papers. Two blue papers. I hope there's enough. I think there are. Might not have had enough faith today. Two blue papers. Hopefully you have a pen or a pencil. If not, borrow one from somebody around you. Really believe like the Lord wants us to think of two thoughts that need to be either tossed or given today. Tossed or given. Because you really got to get rid of the toss and the give pile so you can get some new pretty thoughts. Some new functional thoughts that are beautiful. So I want you to write those down. And then the worship team in a moment is going to come up and they're going to do that song Peace again for us. And we're going to come up and get rid of some thoughts that we need to get rid of. Because God loves granting people a sound mind. Loves it. He loves it. He doesn't want your brain all torturing yourself. He doesn't want that. So get rid of, maybe you need more than two. Take more than two if you need more than two. Right on the back. I'm not going to read them. I'm not going to read them. No one's going to read them. They're toss and give. I might pray over these without looking at them. Because sometimes forgiveness is one of those things you make a decision to do, but then you got to walk it out. So I'll be praying over these in my office this week without looking at them. But this one will go in the garbage. Because it says toss, right? I find it fascinating this year, I have no memory of this happening before, maybe it has, that Lent, Ash Wednesday, and Valentine's Day are the same day this year. Now there has to be some significance to that, right? And I'm preaching about hearts today, really? God's plan always comes together, always. I'm not that smart, He's smart. His plan always comes together. So as you start Lent this year, maybe instead of giving up chocolate, get rid of some thoughts. Maybe instead of beating yourself up, put it in the give pile. I'm going to leave more up here. If any more come to mind, I'm just going to leave them right there for you. Worship team, come on up. Thank you. Love our team so much. We're going to do this way, okay? I don't want any pressure on anybody. If you really don't feel like, you know, this is for you or whatever, that's fine. It's all good. Maybe it'll come later to you. That's fine. But I want them to do this song. And at your convenience, come up and drop something in the box, and then feel free to exit and visit in the lobby. I'm not going to have a close or whatever. Have a great week. Have a full, beautiful week with a heart of flesh. If you've never asked Jesus, or if you've never given your heart to Jesus and you want to have a heart of flesh, come up and see me after the service. I would love to pray with you. I'll even give you one of my booklets to help you on your way. Give, not sell, give. If you want to pray with me, please come and pray with me. I would love it. But just enjoy this music and listen to the Holy Spirit who's within you. Listen to Him telling you what you need to toss and what you need to give. God, I pray a blessing over this beautiful Oak River family and for all of our guests today. I pray that you would speak so softly and so beautifully to them, because I know you want us to have peace in our hearts and you want us to have peace in our minds. And so I pray a blessing of your holy favor resting on each one of us as we write out our thoughts, and then as we put them in the bins and we walk away from them, never to pick them up again. In Jesus' name, amen.